Prologue, Tangier, 2005.
A storm is rising. He can feel it in the strange stillness of the air. There is no movement, no flutter of clothing, not a whisper of a breeze along the narrow streets of Tangier. Beyond the lines of washing strung between the buildings, above the tiled roofs, he sees a patch of sky. There is a strange luminous quality to it, a bluish hue, and lights that look almost like auroras. He stirs a cup of warm milk, blinks, and looks out again, onto the changing and otherworldly colors of the sky. Setting the spoon down onto the counter, he turns from the open window and crosses to where the boy is sitting, his face tightened in concentration at the jigsaw puzzle before him. "Here," his father says, holding out the cup. The boy does not look up. "Come on, Dylan, drink up." The boy looks at him and frowns.
"No, Daddy, I don't want to."
His father hands him the cup again. The boy hesitates before reaching out, and in that moment, Harry feels the faintest beat of indecision. He ignores it and nods his head at the boy in encouragement. The boy takes long, slow gulps. A small dribble of milk escapes from the corner of his mouth, and his father wipes it away. Dylan gulps again and hands the cup back.
"Here, Daddy," he says. "Finished."
Harry takes the cup and walks to the sink to rinse it. At its bottom, there is a fine residue of powder. He fills the cup with water and watches the residue flow up and out of it and down into the drain. Leaving the faucet running, he fills a pan and sets it on the stove. The gas is not easy to light, and he pushes the knob and presses the ignition switch several times before it takes. The couscous is out. Next, he takes a handful of raisins and places them in a bowl. A half-full bottle of brandy stands on the counter by the olive oil. Harry takes the brandy and covers the raisins. Before placing the cap back onto the bottle, he holds its opening to his nose and inhales. Then swiftly, almost surreptitiously, he drinks from the bottle before screwing the top back onto it and returning it to its place beside the olive oil. He looks out again at the changing colors of the sky. He wants to say something to his son about it, but he does not. Dylan is completing his puzzle, becoming drowsy. Harry returns to his cooking. He pours a small amount of olive oil into his right hand and smears the chopping knife with it. He chops dates, gathers them into a bowl, and slides his finger across the knife blade before placing the apricots on the chopping board. Beyond the window, the streets are quiet. Usually at this time of the day, in neighboring apartments, there are the busy sounds of people preparing meals. But this evening, there are no raised voices. There is no clanging of dishes, no hissing of cooking fat, no cries from hungry babies. A hush has descended upon this part of the world. It is as if all the inhabitants of Tangier are holding their breath. He turns to Dylan. "Time for bed." There are no protestations from his son, just a vague nod of consent. Harry picks him up and carries him to his room. There he undresses the boy. He leaves him in an undershirt and underpants and eases him under the covers. He strokes his cheek and leans over to kiss his forehead. "Night, night, sweet prince," he whispers, but the boy does not answer. He is already asleep. Back in the kitchen, Harry fixes himself a gin and tonic. The day has been long and difficult. The heat, his son's demands, and his own inability to concentrate cling to him, making his skin feel tight. The air remains heavy, although the heat has dissipated. Now that the boy is asleep, he can finish cooking dinner. It is Robin's birthday, and he has planned a special meal to celebrate. He turns the oven on, removes the cover from the lamb on the counter, and seasons it with roughly ground salt, then massages the meat with rosemary and oregano, and slides it into the oven. As he does so, he glances at the sky and wonders when the clouds will break and the downfall begin. Rain in Tangier can be biblical. The torrential downpours can last for days. It is one of the things that surprised them most when they moved here 5 years ago. He longs for one of those rainstorms now to clear the air and lift this dull, oppressive atmosphere. The pain around his head has not abated, despite the gin. He glances at the old clock above the stove and refills his glass. The phone's ring startles him. "Everything all right?" asks Robin. "Yes, Dylan's asleep, and I'm getting dinner ready."
"He's asleep?"
The surprise in her voice unnerves him. "He was exhausted."
"Listen,"
she says then, and he can tell from her tone that she has some favour to ask.
"Simo has gone home sick, so I told Raoul I'd stay on a while longer to cover."
"But it's your birthday."
"It'll just be a couple of hours, that's all."
He is silent.
"It'll still be my birthday when I get home,"
she says. He drains his glass and agrees that yes, it will still be her birthday when she gets home. He says goodbye, hangs up, and makes himself another drink. It will have to be his final drink before she arrives. He doesn't want to get drunk and spoil things for her. Tonight, with his headache, with the uneasy feeling in the air, he is as jumpy as a cat and craves the reassurance of her presence. For some reason, he does not want to be alone. So he distracts himself by putting away toys and gathering up books and returning the cushions to the sofa. He clears clutter from the coffee table and sweeps the tiled floor. The place is coming back to itself, back to the tidy space that has become their home. The shabby yet comfortable sofa, the bead curtain that separates this room from the cubbyhole kitchen, the corner by the window where stacks of canvases lie propped up against the wall. Even the wooden table they dine at is cleared. Harry is annoyed at Robin. Perhaps he would not have made Dylan go to sleep so early if he had known she was going to be late. Still, he tries not to be downbeat and goes about setting the table. Knives, forks, napkins, but where are the candles? Earlier that day, he'd bought 4 white, unscented candles at the souk. A roll of saffron-coloured linen to throw over the sofa and a large, ornate serving tray, cast in silver, decorated in a fine filigree of scrolls and curlicues. The tray is a gift for Robin, one he spent 20 minutes haggling for, but it is only now that he realises he has left it and the other items at Cosimo's. He had not planned to go to Cosimo's. It was a spur-of-the-moment thing. Almost immediately, Harry had regretted bringing Dylan. Cosimo was not used to having children around, especially in his own home. Dylan had grown bored and irritable while Harry sat chatting with Cosimo, and as the time passed, the boy began pulling at his arm, complaining loudly, so that their visit had ended abruptly. Harry sweeping the boy up into his arms and carrying him away, leaving his friend in a grateful peace.